say. Everything gonna be alright.
The All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast, a southern storm of bold, liberating rock, shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
Welcome to another episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast on Pantheon Podcast, where you can go and find your most preferred music genre podcast. So go to Pantheon Podcast, check us out as well. Hopefully you're listening to us as, you know, as much as anything else you might choose. So with me always is Jason. What's up, man? What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm good. So you went and saw Charlie Starr and Benji Shanks and their acoustic show. Can you give us a little more detailed report?
Yeah, we went down to this place called the Ludlow Garage in Cincinnati, which is a really cool area over there, and actually used to be like an Ace Hardware and some other stuff. So anyways, they have a restaurant bar up top, they've got a performance area downstairs. So we went and saw Benji and Charlie do their acoustic thing. I've never seen that live in person before, Brian. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I had a chance to see it, and it's awesome. They played about 2 hours, including the encore, Blackberry Smoke songs, cover songs, and talking to the audience in between sessions. It was amazing. My wife said this ruined seeing Blackberry Smoke for her as a full band now because she liked the acoustic stuff better. Yeah. I don't agree, but it was awesome.
You did any little storytelling?
He did some storytelling, stuff with his family, stuff from people, his dad that he knew, you know, his dad about the bluegrass, where all the bluegrass stuff comes from. So he told some really nice stories. The audience kind of participated a little bit. I don't think they were supposed to, but they played off on a couple of things. And it was a good time, man. It was really, he is a master of his craft. You know, he sings great. He plays great. He can do about anything. And being kind of brought up as a bluegrass guy, he got a chance to do a lot of bluegrass licks on that acoustic, on the multiple acoustic guitars that they were playing.
Cool. Very cool. Now, the Ludlow Garage, has that been open? Like, was it closed for a while? I've got like I don't know if it's a bootleg, but it might be bootleg, but a live CD of the Allman Brothers playing there.
Yep.
So has that just always been open since that was like, what,
it's
late
been
60s?
Open for a long time. There's still like I said, it started as a hardware store. It's kind of converted to what it's been, but yeah, like it's the Allman Brothers played there in the 70s, I believe, and a lot of bands. And it's still playing shows. They had shows coming up with, this is funny, Jesus Jones. Remember Jesus Jones? Like right
sounds
here, right
familiar.
Now, from the 90s. Like an alternative rock song. They're coming. Okay. Flock of Seagulls. Okay. Mr. Big also.
Wow.
I was surprised by some of the stuff that was coming up. But it was a cool venue. Like you said, Brian, a historic venue. And those got, man, Charlie is just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we've got some guests coming up from Mississippi. And that's going to lead into another guest coming from Mississippi. And I've been just kind of getting back in touch with the Mississippi Hill Country Blues, listening to that a little bit, and watched a documentary that I've seen probably several times. I could watch it over and over and over. It's, you hear me laughing, or you see me laughing. Last of the Hill Country Bluesmen. So that's cool. And
where can you find that to watch it?
That was on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Okay. Have to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and it it really kind of centers around R.L. Burnside and Junior Kimbrough and some other players, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see.
Well, on an upcoming episode, the one after this one that we've already recorded, I was very impressed about your knowledge of the history of Mississippi Hill Country Blues.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe it seems like a simple format, but it's, yeah, I think you got to be pretty disciplined. I don't know if I'll try and I don't know if I could do that. I could maybe try, but who knows?
I'm not, I don't think so. I struggle enough just with the regular stuff that I try to do.
Right.
I don't need to
Yeah.
try to put anything else on top of that.
Yeah. But yeah, and a lot of those guys are playing hollow bodies or semi hollow bodies, and I had one at once, and I don't know why I got rid of it. They say
You know,
sellers, I hear about seller's remorse, but it's like more trader's remorse. But I'll circle back around to that
anybody
at
that's
some
doing
point.
musical instruments, particularly guitars and basses, always has a story about the remorse of giving up something.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about our guests coming up. We got a couple guys from the band Su Sullivan's Hollow, one of which we've talked to before from his previous group.
Yeah, this is what our first of a double header of Mississippi based or Mississippi based or bred artists, Brian.
Yeah, for sure.
So coming back to us is Dylan Palmero, as you guys remember. We've had him on the time probably at least 3 times before, Brian.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, at least
You
three, if
know,
not more.
and now he's back. He's part of another project called Sullivan's Hollow with the founder, Sammy Cadan, who is also joining Dylan to talk a little bit about what's going on with that band and some other things that they have going on too. So Dylan's hopping on this kind of existing project, Sullivan's Hollow, with Sammy and seeing what they can do.
Yeah, and it's interesting that Dylan before, in Magnolia Bayou, there was a little more bluesy kind of bass kind of stuff, but this is a little more hard rock, and as you guys will hear, it's so interesting to hear. We usually think about Mississippi, we think about the Delta and stuff like that, like we're talking about, but it's like Sammy says, and he goes more into detail about how many styles of music there and very diverse. So it's exciting to hear about that, and it's happy for Dylan and what he's doing and doing some
He's a great
other.
guitar player. I'm
Yeah,
interested to
yeah.
see what he's going to bring to that original music.
Yeah. So you guys kick back and relax and listen to our interview with Dylan and Sammy from Sullivan's Hollow.
So proud, I can't say. Every time I see you out somewhere, you act like you don't know my name.
We're here at the guest segment of the podcast. You guys know I always throw it over to Jason to introduce the guests.
And I am excited to have the guests on tonight. One, we got a returning friend we haven't talked to in a while. Dylan Palmero is back, so we're happy to have him along with the new friend, Sammy Cadan. They're part of Sullivan's Hollow and some other musical groups. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Man, happy to be here. Thank y'all so much for having me.
How's
Dylan.
Guys,
What's going on, man? Long time no see.
man, just another day, just hunting and grunting, you know, whining and grinding.
Brian, have you been hunting and grunting today? Because I'm gonna start using that.
Well, I don't know about the hunting, maybe grunting. I don't know.
I do grunt quite a bit during the day.
Nice to see that gear behind you there, Dylan.
Appreciate it, man. Put it on display for
Is
y'all.
that famous SG of yours?
Boom. There she is.
Yep.
Is
When I
there
think of a
some
Gibson SG, Brian, there's two people I think of, Angus Young and Dylan.
Dylan?
Oh, man.
Is there anything new from the last time we talked to you? It's been a while. Any pedals? Anything?
Not so much acquisitions, more dreaming and kind of trying to, because I've found my sound a little bit, but you know, everybody knows gearheads are always chasing, you know,
Yeah,
the drum, so to
that's
speak,
true.
wanting more and more of the same, and you know, a little bit more of other things too, you know, trying to expand my sonic capabilities as much as possible, as we like to do. So
So, Sammy, how about you? Well, you're not home right now. Where is home for you? Because you're
Home.
visiting Nashville.
Home for me is a little house in the middle of the woods off of East Lincoln Road in Monticello, Mississippi. Yeah, as far away as people as I could get, honestly, for now. I'm looking to find a place even farther away from people, actually.
I like that perspective. You know, after working all day long, I get a little tired of people.
Yeah, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love people, but there's a time and place for
Oh,
everything.
I
So,
don't.
for that solitude, to find that solitude, man. We don't even have internet at my house, if that tells you anything.
Wow.
Like at the end, because they don't service it,
Yeah.
One of
So the
those.
love shack where I see the sign above your head is not your home.
No, it's just my abode for the time being. And what better place to be than a love shack? Am I right?
That's damn right. I mean, the B-52s loved it so much they wrote a song about it.
Exactly.
But
Precisely.
we haven't heard. We are aware of Sullivan's Hollow. We don't know the history. So, Sammy, you want to give us the
Yeah.
rundown on that, and then.
Absolutely, man. Man, so I guess we'll just start at the beginning. And we established the band as an entity, I guess, in 2018. I had done a festival the year before as a solo act, and they had asked me to come back for the second year. And they were like, "We want you to come back, but you have to have a band." And I was like, "Well, I don't have a band." And the lady that was put on the event, she was like, "Oh, honey, that's not what I was asking you. I was telling you and your band are going to be here on whatever the date was, like I think November the 4th that year." But I said, "Okay." I took my lumps and I hollered at some guys, and we did an absolutely atrocious performance because we had hardly practiced or really had time to rehearse or anything. And it was really bad. But somehow or another, actually, Dylan and the rest of the guys in his former band asked us to open for them at Smoot's Grocery a couple weeks after that. And so in that time period, I reached out to some guys, found a new guitar player. I hired on Zach, reached out to him, our bass player, Zach Case. We had a conversation about coming, and another buddy of mine, Seth Cotton, I'd reached out to him to play bass, and he had been unavailable working on another project. He called me back a couple weeks later and said, "Hey, you still looking for a bass player?" And I was like, "Well, no, but I could always use a good rhythm guitar player." And ultimately, Zach and Seth since then have alternated on rhythm guitar and bass for the longevity of the project. So, but that's kind of how I got started. And it was really supposed to be a one-off festival band. And just, over time, the universe works in certain ways that put you in the right rooms with the right people. And what was supposed to be a one-off festival band has turned into a eight, almost 7 year project now.
Dylan, how do you know Sammy? Obviously, he said that Magnolia Bayou asked him to open up a show. I mean, how do you guys know each other?
Yeah, man. So Natchez kind of became kind of like a second home for us early on in Magnolia. We played Smoot's Grocery, I want to say late 2017, early 2018, something like that. You said Longwood was in 18.
Yeah, well, that was the one we did with Sullivan's Hollow, but I had done 17 the year before and opened up for y'all as a solo act. And then when y'all came back in January of 19 is
Yeah.
when we opened up for y'all as a band.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, around that time, Sammy and I linked up and, I always try to, find the musicians, the cool folks, that are hanging out and, cause I mean, it's just a weird world, and, touring and stuff like that. So, trying to find as much of yourself and other people to relate and, shoot the shit with and,
Well, yeah, because we can be like totally 1,000% honest on here, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Okay, yeah,
Yeah.
because as y'all all know, there's a bunch of assholes out there in the music business. A bunch of great people, but there's also a bunch
Nobody
of
we
assholes.
talk to, it's the people we don't talk to that are the
Sure, the one,
assholes.
yeah, you know, exactly. No, I mean, no, and I'm sure I'm the asshole in several people's narrative, but there's assholes in the music business, man. And so it's cool to find people that you can mesh with. And I think that's kind of, where we first hit it off anyway, Dylan, was we kind of were just on the same wavelength.
Absolutely, dude. I remember, around the time that we were first like gigging together. I remember we were playing Underground 119 and we got you to come open, and I just remember watching the set of yours, and like as a solo artist, just we've always been admirers of each other, in our own musical endeavors, and it's just been really cool to finally like paths merge and stuff like that. But I just
Right.
remember, he'd play his set, we'd shoot the shit for a little while, and then afterwards we'd all go hang out by the van or whatever and just talk for as long as we could before the band went to the hotel, or girlfriend's hand call and whatever,
Right.
but yeah, man, just it's been cool for sure. Been a nice little roller coaster, nice little.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. Like we had not funny, but in hindsight, I think we can like laugh about the perfect timing of it all. Like we had just lost like our guitar player and drummer that we'd been playing with for forever, and Dylan I saw had come available for a project, and I was like, hey man, I mean, we've always kind of talked about it, but we got a show in a couple weeks and we ain't got a guitar player if maybe you're available. And see, I've been jamming for a year together since, you know.
Absolutely.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
That was going to be my next question, like how, Dylan was filling in, and when do you ask him the question, or you want to be full time in the band?
I mean, I don't think there was ever, I mean, and Dylan, we've talked about it, but I mean, there was never like a hard, like, okay, you're in now. It was more like, hey, dude, like we've played these shows together and adjacently and been on the bills, a lot of same bills together for a while. We need a guitar player. You're looking to fill up some dates on a calendar. Like, let's try it out and see like if it works, and we played a couple shows together and got our feet on, underneath us. And I mean, I think it was just kind of an understood thing that like we all want our flexibility, and like if we have a show pop up and Dylan's already booked, like it's fine. We'll hire out another guitar player for that night, but he's obviously our first call every time. I mean, and that's the, he's in a bunch of different projects. I have a solo project. There's another band that he and I frequently play in together that it's called the Secondhand Smokers, and it's a really cool thing I've been trying to get off the ground. And I think more than anything, the aspects of community within the music realm, it's like, dude, we're playing this show this night. If you're available, come do it. And if you're not, like, all good. We've got a good community of guys that will fill in if need be. But I would say that somewhere along the way, we just all collectively agreed that, Dylan was our first choice as far as to fill that position in that role in our band.
And I'm honored.
Sammy, if you could talk about like the music of Sullivan's Hollow and what you've recorded so far and where you guys going next.
Man, I mean, I mean, in what regard, I mean, like I said, we've recorded stuff, and as far as the music we've released, I mean, we're getting ready to release some stuff that we've been sitting on for a while. But as far as the music that's out there, I mean, all bands evolve and change so much. I mean, those songs that we put out in 2020, we're still playing those songs, but music evolves and it sounds totally different, and we play it in a live fashion so much differently than when we put that out as an EP. Those songs were re recorded in 2019 and 2021, and here we are in 2024. I mean, you find a spot in a piece of music, you're like, man, I really wish we would have done a halftime break right here. And it's like, we're not going to go back and cut it right now, maybe one day. But as far as the live setting, I mean, we do a lot of that impromptu and improv, and we're calling audibles the whole show. And people ask us about a set list. It's like, I mean, we know what songs we know how to play, and we read the room and what are they into that night? Like, how do we want to spice it up and do it different, not only for the audience, but for ourselves?
So is there like a even like a general outline of the set list, like what you're going to start with? Is
Yeah, I
it
mean,
always just completely like on the fly?
there's definitely like a structural backbone. I mean, we know what original songs we've got, and the music we put out. I mean, stuff off the EP like Sky Blue Pink has turned into something over the years that is like a show closer. That's what a lot of folks that are there to hear Sullivan's Hollow, that's the one that resonates with them. And we close a lot of shows with Sky Blue Pink. It's this very conclusionary piece of music as it's written, and it kind of fills that role for us. So we know that that's going to be towards the end of the set. We like to send a message with the first song. So we typically play Hair of the Dog. We let folks know this is what kind of rock and roll music you're going to get all night long, whether we're slamming out, original after original, and then we throw you a curveball, some cover from Delbert McClinton that you didn't think we would ever play or touch, or we're playing Use Me by Bill Withers or Ain't No Sunshine, or we're breaking out a Avril Lavigne cover or whatever it is. I mean, we have an idea of what we're doing, but we like to set the tone a certain way, and we like to finish the show a certain way.
When I listen to your music, we try not to categorize stuff, but to me, it's like a little more harder rock than. And so, what does Dylan add to that, bring to that? Because I always, what Dylan's done so far has been more like, somewhat southern flavored, swampy kind of
So
some blue stuff. So how does that all work? What's he add?
I'll tell you, man, early on, we decided that we wanted to be all the best parts of Southern rock, but with the edge of the grunge movement, and we're going to play music that hits you in the face and has meaning and weight. And so, I mean, him being a Southern rock guy just fell in my opinion, it just fell in perfectly with what we were doing. And yeah, he doesn't sound like the guitar player we had before. And guess what? That guitar player didn't sound like the one we had before that. I mean, we're an ever evolving band, and we've had a core group for a long time, but we've always kind of had a revolving door of our friends that are talented musicians come in and out of the group. And Dylan, he's always been somebody we've known and respected. So when the opportunity came to add his flavor to our flavor, it was a no-brainer to us.
Yeah, kind of. I'm throwing the same question over to Dylan that you got asking. I mean, Dylan, for you, going transitioning from a more traditional southern rock band to some of the hard red stuff. How's that for you as a guitar player? Again, I know you guys have covered Alice in Chains and stuff in the past, and we're fans of kind of the grunge movement.
Yeah. Well, so I guess, man, for years, and I'm sure we talked about this on, one of the three, four times I've been on with you guys, but like I've always kind of gravitated towards, at least in my listening and early guitar playing, like heavier stuff. Like, I on Pantera, Alice in Chains, Dimebag Darrell was one of my favorite guitar players. Still is. There's still that stuff, resonating within. But I've always kind of musically for me, I gravitate towards something that either comes from a place of angst, pain, or just overall, like emotion. Like if that emotion is at its heightened state, I'm typically gonna gravitate towards listening to it and probably putting it in my rotation of things. But I've always been kind of an angsty guitar player, at least on stage with my antics and stuff. If I see something to jump on or off of, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, you're the king of stage parkour. I mean,
The king of stage parkour. That's the name of a song.
I'll take that.
I mean, legitimately though, I've seen him jump off of so many subwoofers and drum risers, and I look up, I'm like, how is Dylan 8 feet in the air right now with an SG in his hand? You know,
because he's still a young man, he could do those things without hurting himself.
Right, but it, you know, I mean, even right now, knocking on the door 30, I'm like, my back and my knees are starting to hurt a little bit, you know, and I'm like, but seeing that kind of spring in him has revitalized that essence in myself.
And I'll be completely transparent with you. I think I might have told you this, but there was one jump like midway through the New Year's Eve set that, like, as soon as I landed, like, I felt in my core, like, oh, that's every bit of landing hurt.
Right. You
know? Like, and I didn't even like jump that high. I just landed wrong. And
right.
Oh, it was trash. It was terrible. So I was scared for a minute.
So how is your kick doing these days? Are you? I haven't. I recently saw Blackstone Cherry. I see some Ben does it all the time. I haven't seen enough video of Thunderbolt to see. I'm always wondering between you and Riley, who's, you guys can't do it as good as Ben, but.
Ben's one of the greatest at that. And honestly, man, like, you know, when I started acting the way that I did, I saw him and was not like, game on, but like, let's go. Like, you know, always friendly competition, if ever a competition, you know. I mean, I'm never out to cut anyone, you know, and I don't plan.
Right, but it's nice to find guys that like that fire in your gut.
Yeah it's nice to see that guy, you know, at eye level and go like, you know, we're gonna cut together instead of
I gotta bring my best tonight because I know they are
right. You fire everybody else up. Yeah, everybody else right. gets some energy. Yeah.
Incite violence. Respect.
Right. Iron sharpens
on
iron.
On stage. Man. On stage.
Right. If anybody does off stage, that's that. Yeah.
You had no part of that. Nothing you did.
Would love to be a part of it, but it's okay.
So, Sammy, we've talked to Dylan before about the spirit of Mississippi music and where they're, I don't know if you want to call it a scene or whatever. What's your take on the music of your area?
Yeah, man, how honest can I be?
As honest as
as
you
honest
want.
As you want, man.
Dude, it's the music mecca of the world. I mean, this is where all nine genres of American music started. Yeah. You know, no matter where people are doing it from now, their influence at some level trickles back to the state of Mississippi. It's that simple. I mean, not to say that they shouldn't have their own flowers for what they've done with those sounds. I think that you look at the movements all around, you know, Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, Seattle. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You look at all these different music movements across the country, but ultimately, if you follow the trail back far enough, it's going to come to Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's shown in just like, just even your day-to-day, I mean, I know more people that are musically inclined than aren't. You know, I mean, there's people that came up in church in Mississippi singing in the choir or playing drums, and they will absolutely dog walk anybody that came up. You know, I mean, they're just, the talent is ingrained, it's trained, it's programmed from an early age on a much larger scale, I think, well, per capita anyway. I think that it's, you know, it's in the dirt, man. It's in the river that runs right in through it. It's in the history. It's in the history, both good and bad. It's, I mean, the amount of influence on modern music that originates in Mississippi is unparalleled and unrivaled. That's my opinion.
I agree.
You keep answering my questions before I ask them. You know, obviously this podcast, you know, it revolves so much around Southeast and newer, younger artists and bands and stuff. And there's musically passionate people everywhere, but there's, to me, outside looking in, I'm from the North, looking at the Southeast, it seems like you're like saying it, is it, it's even more so almost like genetically encoded, if that makes,
it
if
is.
That makes sense. It's just, it's amazing. I mean, the spirit of song from the South is, it's even more steeped and more.
I'll tell you this, man. And I don't talk about this a whole bunch, but you know, I didn't find out how musical my family was until I was 13 years old going through a closet. There was always a piano and an organ in the house, but I never saw anybody playing them, you know, so I just assumed it was just an ornamental thing. It wasn't until I started going through the closets and finding the baritones and the banjos and the guitars and the violins and the saxophones and you know, the sheet music, and realizing that at some point my very musical family had stopped playing. So right, I never saw any of them playing, but somehow or another, when I was 18, 19 years old, I got myself into it. I was drawn to it, and now I've pursued it as a career. There's something that you can't deny is genetic about that.
Well, I'm going to expand on that. So what was your family involved in musically? I mean, you had all these instruments lying around. People just in band in school? Did they have projects in church?
My mom, I mean, like I said, they never would talk about it much. But my mom went to college on a band scholarship. You know, there was, to this day, I have a 60s parlor Silvertone guitar that was my uncle's, and he passed it down to his younger brothers. They all played it. My mom played it. The only one that wasn't musically inclined, to my knowledge, was my aunt, and she's a painter. You know, I mean, so it's this, you know, they never pursued it as a career, but it was so ingrained in their early years and part of who they were. And, you know, you don't have a house full of instruments unless you got a house full of folks playing them. I mean, it, you know, very, very seldom anyway. So, I mean, to the fact that I never saw and never witnessed any of my family playing music at all. It, you know, I had an uncle that passed away before I was born, and I think that they all kind of left it where it lied after that. But, you know, in my lifetime, I never saw anyone playing music, but somehow or another still ended up on this podcast talking about being a musician. So that to me talks about the influence of the genetics of music and how big that influence is in Mississippi.
So now, Dylan, I want to ask you, like I asked Sammy, like what do you, you know, ask him what you added to Sullivan's Hollow. What do you think, you know, what have you learned from Sammy and the rest of the players in the band that adds to you? Like what have they added to you?
Man, it's like, you know, so I had, you know, a group for about 8 years and, you know, did a lot of great things, did a lot of cool things. And, you know, for a long time that felt like a brotherhood and a family. And at some point that kind of, you know, maybe statically dissipated in one corner or the other, or in the center, what have you. But just, you know, the community, like you mentioned earlier, and, you know, like between Sammy and Zach and, you know, everybody, it's just been like beautiful as far as personalities mesh great. You know, like if anybody needs anything at all, you know, we're always there. You know, it's like truly a brotherhood, and it feels like a family. You know, I lost one group, but I gained, you know, an entire community, it feels like. So, you know, I've got another project with a buddy of mine, Will. Him and I have been, you know, doing a lot of cool things and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just been really cool, man. You know, I owe a lot to Sammy and the rest of Sullivan's Hollow, man. It's been really cool.
With being one of the newer members, or maybe the newest member of Sullivan's Hollow, where do you fit in terms of the band dynamics? So like Sammy, Dylan, if Dylan comes with something, an idea for a song, a change of existing song, are you going to listen to him? Or are you telling him to shut up because he's a new guy?
No, man, that's not me at all, man. Like I said earlier, I feel like music that we printed down 5 years ago shouldn't sound the exact same. I'm not trying to go out there and regurgitate a carbon copy of myself 5 years ago. You know, that's not what this is about. This is about being a medium for the universe to show how things change, and how people change, and how music changes ultimately. I mean, it's one of the beautiful things of it is that I didn't ask Dylan to come play with us because I wanted him to sound like somebody else. I asked Dylan to come play because I wanted him to sound like Dylan. And what, I mean, he'll tell you, he asked us, do you want me to do this verbatim? I'm like, nah, bro, I want you to listen to the song and I want you to play it how you play it and leave your stank on it. I want it to smell like Dylan played that solo afterwards. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the whole point.
Well, especially when you get a really fantastic guitar player like Dylan, why would you want to constrain him to being somebody else and not having him do what he does?
Right. It doesn't make any sense. That's like recruiting somebody as a quarterback and drafting them in the first round and then being like, but we want you to study under this dude that's had a losing season for, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make any sense. There's no purpose in that.
I will say though, they're, you know, in learning the songs, because I had about a month to learn the songs before our first show, maybe even, right around a month,
I think it
and
was like 3 weeks.
something like that. But we had like 2 weeks to a rehearsal, or like a week, something. And I had a very minimal amount of time to learn 15 songs, which, you know, I'm full-time music, so that's not too terrible. But I remember in Dark, an unreleased song, there's a sweet picking run, and I am not a sweet picker,
Oh
at
yeah,
least half.
don't get me wrong. We've always had good guitar players. Like that's the thing. Is, you know, there's no bad blood with any of the old ones. They're still family. You know, like I went and had lunch with Chase Bryan, our old guitar player, not that long ago. You know,
But that's a
he
shredder move, and you're like, just because a guy did a sweet quip doesn't mean that Dylan has to do it.
Well,
Well, yeah. I mean, well, I was just kind of like looking at the list, and I mean, not to
What
say
about your pinch harmonics, Dylan? Are they up to snuff yet?
I gotta get there
You
now.
said you're a Pantera guy in Dimebag. I think he's all about those pinch harmonics.
Totally. Well, so I mean, I kind of hit a to quick story. I kind of hit like a fork in the road. Couple years ago, trying to find myself as a guitar player. This was before Magnolia even started, but I was like, all right, well, you got like Eric Johnson and Dimebag in this league, and like, you know, Steve Vai and stuff, and then you got like Derek Trucks and, you know, Kenny Wayne Shepherd and stuff like that. I was like, what does my heart and soul want out of this? Because I can play 1,000 notes and, you know, make people feel a certain way, or I can like play a tenth of the notes and like make people sob, you know. And I picked the latter. So and learning slide, you know, having to like figure out how to manipulate the strings with using your right hand as well as your left hand, I kind of lost some of that like pinch harmonic type stuff. But I've kind of accidentally done some shit. And it's like,
If I ever do a pinch harmonic, it is 100% accidental, and it does
dude,
happen sometimes.
happy accidents. That there's happy accidents in all our recorded music. We couldn't do that shit again if we tried. Just, you know, I mean, it was just that day it worked, you know. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be, man.
But same, that goes back to you saying, hey, you want Dylan to be himself and bring his own unique, you know, characteristic personality to this playing.
Dude, Sullivan's Hollow is, yeah, we're a band and we play music, but it's more of like a fraternal order of musicians. You know, we've had guys come through and they may not play for a year or two, but then they come back and play a show with us, or they come. It's ever evolving and ever changing. And, you know, as we change as musicians, whether the faces change, the people inside the face changes, you know, and so we play differently. I sing differently than I did back then. You know, I mean, it's just part of it. I don't want Dylan to be anybody but Dylan.
And if
You
there's
know?
ever a guy that, you know, comes up and is in Brookhaven or Jackson or whatever that, you know, is cutting me, you know, then I'll step aside. There's your throne, baby boy.
Right, but it ain't, you know what I'm saying? Like it's one of those things that especially we've been putting on a lot of events in 2023. Like we put on several events throughout the year, and it was cool to see like inviting so many people that have been a part of our family but now have their own projects and inviting them to come do shows. It's like, dude, they're still our brothers. They're doing their own thing. Like Wyatt Braddy, he's playing with JT McCaffrey, and it's cool because that was our drummer that you know, decided he wanted to pursue other things. And now we cycle between he and Hayden Flint and Johnny Nuccio. I mean, we have a rotation of drummers that play with us, and it's cool when we do these events together with these guys that we are in this brotherhood with. It's like, yeah, dude, you can play both sets. Play a set with JT, then play a set with us. You know, I mean, it's one of those things that I think that we really truly do focus more on the community side of it than necessarily it being pitch perfect and pristine every time. That's, to me, there's something so robotic about that and inauthentic that I don't want to be any part of.
Great. Totally.
So Dylan, I got to ask you. I don't know if I've asked another guitar player this, but why don't you? Like, so when you're learning these songs, how much time can you spend on each song if you got a certain amount of time to learn it? And also with Sammy saying you can bring your own flavor to it, like how you know what amount of time do you have to spend? Do you have it, you know, on learning it or each song?
Well, man, so it kind of depends on the song. I mean, with something like Hair the Dog, that was relatively quick learning that one, just because it's, you know, like the minor pentatonic thing, but it's so angsty. You know, like I probably only needed to listen to it maybe 3 times, but I played it 7 just because it's, you know.
You never covered that before anywhere else in your career?
Say that again, brother. I'm
You
sorry.
never covered Hair of the Dog before in your career?
No. So that's an original.
Yeah, that's one of the songs that we released.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking like Nazareth, like Hair of the Dog,
No,
right?
no. We,
Oh, I was like, what? I mean, now you're messing
yeah,
with the son of a bitch. Come on.
Yeah.
yeah. But same vibe though. I mean, you know, I mean that's you know, it's one of
You
the
threw
long.
me when you said the Avril Lavigne cover, and I was just, you know, the
Yeah, I mean,
covers.
I don't look like the kind of guy that would sing Avril Lavigne either, but you know,
No offense, she's a bit prettier than you.
and that is absolutely true. I respect honesty in all forms and fashions. No, man, like I said, we Hair of the Dog is one of our hard hitting originals. That it's the one I was talking about that we always open shows with. It's
Yeah.
it opens with a kick drum and a bass groove, and it's in your face from the time the first guitar plays to the very end.
The intro, like he was saying, there's also like chains in place of a snare, right? Is that what
Yeah,
it is?
right.
So it feels like almost like a field holler until like the feedback starts coming in, and it's oh shit, you know. And then it's like if you're in the crowd and you know, or like mainly me, you know, 4 years ago when I was in the crowd, I was like, oh shit, it's about to go down, and it did, and it still does.
Right.
So now a
Hey.
follow-up question, very similar though, like you guys both have other projects and stuff like. You know, like you guys must manage your time really well or be efficient. I mean, because you got to eat and sleep and stuff too. Like, is that just all natural, or is there times where you got to go, okay, you know?
I think for me at least, it's like when I look at it, I think I've just been doing it so long now that it's almost second nature to be like, okay, when I'm talking to a venue, it's like, here's your options. What flavor of, you know, like if I'm booking shows or, you know, pitching it to an agent to book for me, I'm like, all right, I'm looking for this project this time. I'm looking for this sound in these places, whatever, what have you. And you know, I think as far as the time management side of it, I mean, not really. The Secondhand Smokers deal is really a band that is specifically to be a true revolving door. I mean, I think, you know, Dylan plays in that one with me. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll wait till the week of the show and I'll call around and be like, all right, are you off on Friday? Do you want to go make some money? Do you want to go? Like, it's more of a community builder in that way of just being like, oh, well, I know this person is a badass. And they're off on Friday night, maybe not because they want to be. Let me call them and see if they want to go jam, like, you know, or a Thursday or a Sunday or a private gig or whatever. And it's different people playing every time. I mean, one night it'll be Victoria Sitigh, Silas Faust, and me. One night it'll be Crawford Stevens and insert drummer here. And one night it'll be me and Dylan and Johnny Nucio, or me and Dylan and Zach Case, or whoever. You know, I mean, it's a so that is a lot easier because what its intention is to be like, I'm gonna go book these shows and I'm gonna get the money right and I'm gonna call folks and be like, yo, are you booked this weekend or 2 weeks from now, whatever it is. Like, it happens, dude. We all end up with canceled gigs or shows that don't come to fruition or whatever, and we're looking down the barrel of like, man, I had 5 gigs I was supposed to go run and do. And you know, so that project is a little bit more freelance in that way. And the rest of it, I mean, Sullivan's Hollow has been around a long time. We've got people that, you know, they want us to come do it. We're putting on our own events. They're reaching out to us. We're not really chasing the rabbit with that project anymore. You know, or at least not as hard as we used to have to. You know, so I mean, it's one of those things that a lot of it just comes to you and you take the opportunities that are presented, at least in my case.
So, Sammy, you mentioned earlier you're living pretty rural. I know Gulfport isn't like a huge city, but I'm just amazed Sammy's, you're throwing these names out like there's just that many musicians in that area, rural or not. I'm just completely
Dude,
impressed by that.
once you step over that Mississippi state line, you can throw a rock or spit in any direction to hit a musician because that's where it all started.
Right.
You know, and like, I'm not going to sit there and say they're all the best, but I mean, there's a lot of really damn good ones.
There's a lot of talent in the water, right, Dylan?
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
I'd pit Mississippi up against just about any state as far as musical talent goes, and I'd be damned if we weren't the breadwinners on that one.
Brian, here's what I'm thinking. Because we always like to do the promoter thing or the fantasy promoter stuff. We don't play fantasy football, we play fantasy promotion. What if we had a battle of the bands, but instead of the battle of the bands, it was battle of the states where we could have Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, put your three best bands out there and let's just run a festival and have everybody vote on it.
Dude,
What do
bring
you
them
think?
on. I can't fucking wait. Let's go.
Come on.
I'll be there 10 minutes early.
Forget this.
You know what I'm
Forget
saying?
March Madness for basketball. We're going to do this with bands. We're going to take a field of 64, bunch of states. We're going
Dude,
to
I'll tell you this. I won't even play in the event and I'll still bet on Mississippi.
do it. You guys have Luther Dickinson. Enough said.
Yeah, you got those boys. You got the Dickinson brothers.
And their
Don't know
dad.
if
And
Dylan
Dylan.
love me. But Robert Johnson's up here above me,
Oh,
and
yeah.
alive or dead, who cares?
That's it. It's
Yeah.
hard to compete against Robert Johnson.
He did what he did right here on this dirt, you know, in Mississippi. Like, there's a reason why I'm visiting Nashville and not living in Nashville.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
You know what I'm
Elvis
saying?
is from Mississippi, right?
Yeah.
Yep. You guys got Drew Smithers as well?
Drew, is he from Mississippi originally? I think he's from Tennessee
Oh, is
originally.
he?
Think he might be up.
Don't quote me on that. I don't know for sure, but
Don't quote me on
I
this.
will gladly take him. You know what I mean? Like,
If it helps, but if I'm not mistaken, I think he's like a Connecticut boy or
is
something.
he?
Oh, Yankee.
I think, because I'm pretty sure his dad and my dad had that in common, and they were talking about that. Or at least they were up in Connecticut for a while, because I know Smithers was a hockey head coming up. That's really cool. But yeah, I don't quote me on either of that. I'm sure he has a Wikipedia page by now, so
Right.
I'm sure y'all could look that up.
Right.
So, Sammy, what's our goal? What's your goal with Sullivan's Hollow? Like, where are you touring? Is it a regional thing? You want bigger your records? Like, where do you want to get with this band?
Dude, we've always said we're either going to the very top or the very bottom. We just want to get there fast. You know, I mean, I said this in an interview with a guy for a write-up not that long ago. I said, I don't know if we're going to play zero shows this year or we're going to play 200 shows this year, and I really don't care. You know, I mean, it's to me, it's I want the music to move me, and I want the opportunity. Like, the universe is going to present to me what I'm supposed to be doing, and I wouldn't have been jamming with these cats this long if we weren't supposed to be playing together. You know, I think that it'll be. I hope my hope is that Sullivan's Hollow is around much longer than I am. You know, I hope that it's one of those bands that it remains a fraternal order, whether I'm in it or not. I think that that's my goal for it. I want it to be this thing that people associate with Mississippi music. The name itself comes from the Sullivan's Hollow gang, the Sullivan gang. And that's worth a Google search for anybody that's going to be listening to this. Is Sullivan's Hollow in Miles, Mississippi, and learning the history about that. And I think that'll give a better idea of what we're about.
We always ask our guests because, we're always looking for new or newer bands, and I'm always scouring any source of information I can. Who else in your area? I mean, I know you're mentioning single musicians or artists,
You got
other
opinions?
band, yeah, absolutely. We always do.
Yeah, I can tell you a ton of them, man. At least the ones that I know. I mean, we just did an event on New Year's Eve, and I'll just give you the lineup from that, and as well as a few others. But you got a band out of Hattiesburg called Grits and Greens. They go hard.
Brian,
You
have we
get,
heard that band before? Name that sounds familiar. Grits and Grains, yeah.
Let's see. JT McCaffrey, he's putting music out. He goes hard. The Lincoln Outfit, they're out of Brookhaven. They haven't released music yet, but they're getting ready to. And one of their guitar players, Crawford Stevens, is also getting ready to release some solo stuff. Let's see who else. Carly Nichols, she's got a song out. We're getting ready to put out some more. She's from Jackson. Let's see, Dylan and Will Hatton. I mean, I know they've been writing a bunch of stuff, getting ready. Will's a fantastic singer, getting ready to put out some music as soon as they can, as soon as they can get it recorded. Who am I forgetting, Dylan? I mean, I know that you know a ton of them down there.
So, as far as the rest of the lineup, there's Clear Creek, Victoria Siddig. Is
Victoria, she's down from Ponchatoula area. I mean, I was just on the phone with my buddy Garrett Bryan earlier. He's out in Clyde, Texas, but he's originally a Miss Lou boy. You know, he grew up in Monterey right across the river and cut his teeth in Natchez, Mississippi. He's got a band called the Traveling City Committee, and he was in another band called Callahan Divide. Man, you know, there's so much talent that literally you can walk into just about any joint in Mississippi on a Friday or Saturday night. And I'm not going to guarantee that they're all good, but I will say that more often than not, they're pretty damn good.
How about is there any newer blues players we might not know about?
I mean, I'll level with you, man. I understand that blues has influenced so much, but I'm not just like a huge proponent of the blues, you know, especially not like the ones where they're saying the same line three times in a row. Like the repetitiveness kind of like it almost like drives me to a certain point of insanity.
You're like
So,
more of the modern blues, rock blues person.
yeah. Like I prefer a blues influence than a blues song.
We're
I
blues
mean,
rock, yeah.
yeah, we've got a song called Drown that is very much it's a hard-nosed, hard rock and roll song, but it's influenced by gospel music and the blues. You know, I
It's
mean,
four five with a six in there, but like most of it's like following the 1-4-5 thing till the chorus, comes
right. But even
along.
then, it's very choir sounding. You know, it's got that praise and worship, and it's by design. That's what we've been exposed to. That's when me and Zach sat down to compose and write that thing. It just came out because there's so much exposure to that. You know, so I'm more of a blues influence than a blues music guy
Right.
personally.
Right on.
We were talking about up and coming artists and stuff, and I forgot one, two now. Tyler Tisdale, I'm sure you
Tyler
guys know.
Tisdale, yeah. He's out of the Hattiesburg area also.
And Cassius Culpepper, dude, you guys should check him out.
Yeah,
Who's that?
Cash.
Cassius, K A S H U S, and then Culpepper, Culpepper.
Yeah, and Cash is, I mean, I don't know him personally. I know you do, Dylan, but I mean, I've been seeing him blowing up on Instagram and TikTok, and I mean, he's on a very much an incline right now as an artist.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a wonderful human. And so, funny story with him, a friend of mine, Bree Radolfich, who I play in Fun K Getaway with, is a funk group. Or actually, excuse me, I mis said that. They're Groove Communion now. They were Fun K for about 4 years, something like that. Anywho, Bree and I were doing a show at Glory Bound, and Cash came by, and we'd always like seen each other, talk to each other, shoot the shit, whatever. And she was like, "Hey, Cash, you want to play one?" And he was like, "Yeah, what do you want to play, Dylan?" And I was like, "I don't know." And I was like, "You'd be the one singing it, so it's kind of your call more than it is mine." And he's like, "You love the Allman Brothers, right?" I was like, "Sure do." And he's like, "You want to do Melissa?" I was like, "I sure do." And
Nice.
that was the first time I'd ever heard a melody come out of that man's face, and I was dumbfounded.
He's got a ridiculously amazing voice.
Dumbfounded, dude. It
We gotta
was
check him out, Brian.
highly recommend.
But yeah, all those guys that I, you know, me and Dylan have rattled off. I mean, they're all talented. They're all friends of ours. And I mean, you know, I mean, like I'm a pretty honest guy. I would tell you if they sucked. I might not have been like they're trash, but I would have been like not bringing them up. You know what I'm saying? There's a certain level of, and even if I don't really necessarily make the kind of music or aspire to make the same kind of music that they do. They're doing their own thing, and their sound is cool for what they're doing. You know?
All the people that we've mentioned feel the same way that we do, in the sense that like music is sacred and it's cherished and it's like, it's our Bible, so to speak, like and so we try.
I'm trying to find Crawford. He said something the other day, and it was so profound that I quoted it. Let me find it real quick. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're good. You're good. I was just saying that, like music is just such a sacred thing, and we've drank from that cup for so long that, we understand, I guess, feel what's authentic or inauthentic. Because I mean, look at an Instagram post and go like, oh, they look douchey, so they probably are. Sometimes it might take, looking at 30 posts to see it, but it's just like, the community that we just pretty much rattled off, is just like everybody's out there to like watch each other's sets, to kick it and just like, let's do a co-write. Let's bring your sound into my sound and let's do something cool together, I mean, it's always been a cool thing, so.
So I found the quote I was looking for. We were talking. He put something out after the New Year's Eve event, and the quote directly was, "Here's to 2024 being full of more music and fun times with," and then names off all these bands. He says, "Peace, love, and the power of music to everyone." That to
Nice.
that stuck out to me. Peace, love, and the power of music to everyone. That's the energy that our community is trying to bring into this year and the year after and the year after that. And I think that's the main vein of what we try to do is to emulate and translate and conjure the power of music every time we step on a stage.
So I want to ask you guys about anything new music for Sullivan's Hall you might be working on, and what are you the kind of band that would release singles or EP or do a full record at some point or what?
So in 2020 we released an EP. We've released two singles since then, and we're sitting on a stack of a couple more originals and some covers we've recorded over the years, and we're going to put them out sometime this year. Not sure, don't quote me on when. We don't know. If I had to be inclined to answer, I'd say sometime around the summer. We're talking about this a couple of days ago about getting together at the end of this month and writing. Dylan and I were talking about that in relation to his and Will's project. But also, we just recorded some stuff for Zach, our bass player, guitar player, is recording an EP. He's not a singer, so he, brought in a bunch of singers from all over to sing different songs and whatnot. We just recorded that a couple weeks ago. Will sang one of those. I sang one of those. I think Cody Dunaway's singing one. So there's a lot of round robin stuff that'll be coming out this year. And obviously, anytime you get the creative juices flowing, you're going to have something come out and be inspired and write. So, there's stuff I've been sitting on for shit, 2 years that I haven't even been like, hey, y'all want to take a hack at this and see what we can do with it? So I think this year will be a year that we write a lot of music, maybe not release a ton, but I think we'll write a ton.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as me personally, like, I think within the last like year, I've written more music than I have in the last 3 or 4 collectively. And it's just, it's been one of those when it rains, it pours situations. And I've just kind of been, like you mentioned earlier, just kind of like letting the universe, or letting yourself be the median for the, or medium for the universe, just kind of like letting. I'm more the vessel now instead of
Dude,
trying
absolutely.
to sit down and like, like I have to write this song, I have to do this, but I'll be in the shower and I'll have my phone on the ledge and I'll scat out a melody
Yeah,
and
I mean,
yeah.
why
Like
not?
I'll be like, just kind of like bopping and like a breakdown will pop into my head and I'm like, that would go hard. And then I'll
Yeah.
just, pop, pop, but whatever into my phone. And sometimes I'll have a band that might have influenced that. So I'll put in parentheses, like Stone Temple Pilots esque or something like
Right.
that.
Was listening to this when this idea was struck me. Yeah.
That way, I've got somewhat of a reference point as to what the fuck Dylan was thinking.
Right. Yeah. So,
But
I
yeah.
mean, as far as putting music out, I mean, I just I've been working on a solo record. I'm getting ready to put that. I just put a single out for it on the first. Working on getting the rest of it out, hopefully, fingers crossed, by the end of March. So, I mean, we're releasing a good bit of stuff this year and writing a lot more stuff. And I think I mean, look at the climate we're in today. I mean, it's not how it was 20 years ago. Your content creation and like putting videos out and that kind of thing is the path to, that's the kind of exposure that does help pay the bills, not just going and playing some gig down the street, for some taco shack that wants you to come do some bullshit. I mean, it's, they're like, oh, we'll pay you in tacos and exposure, and it's like, no, man, I'm good. I can make tacos at home. So it's always interesting to me these years like this where your collection of content is getting ready to roll out, and you're like, all right, well, I'm dumping the vessel, so now I can fill it with more shit. And that's the whole point, is to empty your cup so that you can refill it.
You're pretty much DIY, right? With promotion and then with booking
Yeah,
and
I got a real big fuck it mentality. Fuck them and fuck it. I'll just do it myself. It's and that's how, I mean, like I said, I'm not looking for anybody to do it for me. I mean, that's how you sit around and wait yourself to death. I mean, the time is now and the person is us. We're gonna do it ourselves. We accepted a long time ago that we were taking the long way around.
That's the way to do it. Jason, is it that time of the show or Gear Talk or both or?
We know Dylan's got something coming up, so let's go ahead and do the lightning round of dumb questions if you guys want to stick around for a few.
Dude, shoot it at us. Come on.
And
All right.
I'm good. I'm good. Send it.
Okay. We just got through Christmas. So I want answers from both of you guys. And Sammy, because this is your first time on, we'll start with you. What's
Okay.
the worst gift you've ever given somebody? And what's the best gift you've ever given somebody?
Man, the worst gift, like ever.
I mean, just stick out your mind. You're like, oof, I wish I would have taken that one back. Or you're so young, you thought you were giving your parents or your siblings something cool, and it was really stupid.
Oh man, I do that pretty much every year. I'm not a big celebrator of the whole like capitalism part of the holidays. I'm like, I'll tell them. I told them this year. I was like, I guess the worst gift I've ever given them is the truth. I was like, don't buy me shit because I'm not buying you shit.
That's
And then,
awesome. I think that's a good gift because that's like
yeah.
freeing for everybody.
Right. It's like, how about we just get together and eat and talk for a little bit and then fuck off and go about our own lives. I think that's really what it's all about, is the camaraderie anyway. So yeah, the truth is probably the worst and best gift that I've given anybody, because I'm like, don't buy me shit. I don't want anything. I don't need any new amps or guitars, or
Wait a minute.
I don't want any more shit to clutter up
You're a
my.
musician that says you don't need any new amps or guitars. Dylan, come on. I mean, come on.
Dude.
You I'll quote him on that.
I'm telling you, man, it's like, I'm like, I don't want anything. Like, and if I do want it, I'll go get it in April. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? I don't
Yeah.
need you to go out of your way to give me something in December. Let's just eat some dinner, and like, I'll make fun of my aunt and she'll make fun of me, and the table will laugh, and then we'll hang out. And that's really all that matters anyway.
I like it. I like that answer. It's good and bad both. Dylan, how about you?
So it was worst gift ever received and then best gift ever received or best
That
gift.
you've ever given. Best and worst you've ever given.
Okay. All right.
If you want to talk about received, you can. That's okay too.
No, you're good. I was just wondering. So worst gift I ever gave, like he said, was nothing. So me and my sister or my sister and I. So she lives up in Jackson, and I texted her like 2 days before Christmas this past year. I was like, "Hey, what's your favorite coffee shop up in Jackson? I know there's Cups. I know there's this one. Do you go to Starbucks anymore?" She was like, "No, I don't go to Starbucks anymore, and Cups is too far away." I was like, "How about I send you money on Cash App?" And she was like, "Cool, that's what I was gonna do for you anyway." And I was like, all right. And I got to thinking about it. I was like, you know, if I send her 50, 100 bucks and she turns around and sends me 50, 100 bucks, what's the point of that?
Right.
I was like, fuck it. I was like, I don't care. I was like, Merry Christmas, bud. I was just like, good at that. And then as far as best gift ever given, a couple years ago or back when this will date. Okay, so Seattle Seahawks had Matt Hasselbeck and it was Richard Sherman a couple years after that. But as far as the jersey that I bought my dad, I got him the it was like a white and blue Seattle Seahawks jersey with the number 8 and Palmeiro written on the back. So that was
Nice. How's your dad a Seahawks fan?
man. You know, I think through hockey, perhaps, or just like, you know, being young and like loving the colors.
Yeah.
But he's been a Seahawks fan for forever since he
Those
was.
old uniforms from the 80s were pretty badass. And you had people like Steve Largent, who was a, all-time receiver and stuff too. So I can see that. Just a long way from Seattle.
Yeah, no doubt. He grew up in upstate New York, and so I'm like, Dad, how the fuck did you become a Seahawks?
Yeah, you figure he'd be a Buffalo
Or
fan
a
or,
Giants or somebody.
Giants, Jets, something like that in that area. Yeah.
Different side of the country,
Good
but
on him for rebelling and choosing the Seahawks because that is not a bandwagon team when your
no,
dad was
yeah.
younger.
And that's what I was gonna get at was like you can't call him out for being a bandwagon team.
No.
It's, you know,
No,
what
they were bad for forever. Forever. All right. Samuel, go back to you. What's your favorite junk food?
favorite junk food?
Or a go-to snack. Or we can say go-to snack.
Nah, let's talk about junk food because I do
All
love
right.
some fucking junk food. Man, like if we're talking about just something that is just not fucking good for you, but I love it anyway,
Yeah.
I will eat you out of house and home on ramen noodles, bro. I love that shit.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because I was so poor in college or what, but I
So
love
how
that
do you
shit.
dress up your ramen noodles? You're probably just not
Dude.
eating them plain. What are you throwing in there?
Man, what have I got in the fridge? What kind of leftovers do I have? What kind of flair can I throw in there? Am I tossing a raw egg in there and letting it poach? Am I
Yep.
doing, what kind of protein am I tossing in here? What kind of hot
Yep.
sauce do I have 3 drops left of? That's the kind of junk food I'm eating. And if I got some chips, I'm gonna crack open some Cheetos and eat with that shit too. You know? Yeah, what kind of horrible things for my arteries can I do? I love Reese's cups.
There
I
you go.
love
Yeah.
Debbie cakes. Look, if I got it in the house, I'm gonna eat it. So I had to stop buying that shit.
The poached egg on top of ramen noodles is an excellent, excellent thing to do,
Is.
man. Yeah, it's really
And it
good.
kind of mixes with the
Yeah.
broth and everything
I mean,
real with
they
the
do it in
yolk.
Japan. That's a very popular way of
Dude,
eating it. Yeah.
especially when the yolk's runny and it kind of blends in
Yep.
and coats the noodles like that.
Yep.
Yeah, load me up on all that sodium.
Real quick.
I'm with you there, Sammy. I'm with you there, Sammy. Dylan, what about you? What's your go-to junk food?
I was just gonna say one more thing about ramen noodles because it's
Yes.
so obviously it's ramen
well,
noodles.
not quite. But there's this Instagram or TikTok, whatever, like hack that this guy did to like dress up your ramen, and he said, "Go buy like the smallest can of like cream and mushroom soup."
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh
Yeah.
my God, dude,
And he was right.
he was right. Yeah, he was absolutely right. He did that, and then I like have like a mini garden, so to speak. So I threw some fresh.
Bro, there's nothing miniature about your garden. The only thing you've got more plants. Like it's a beautiful sight to be. Your back porch is one of my favorite places to sit in the whole world.
Appreciate that. We've definitely, you know, done a lot to
This
you know.
man has an oasis in Gulfport, is what he's got.
Very much do. Man, I sit out there often and just kind of like sit with my plants and my thoughts. But I had some fresh green onions that I threw in the ramen as well, and that
Yeah.
was as
Dude,
far
chive it up. Let's see it. Let's chop it up and chive it up.
good.
Toss some garlic cloves down in there too. Yeah.
That's good. Let's see. As far as my favorite junk food, Flamin' Hot Lime Cheetos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
dude.
Bro, you just made my pants shorter, bro.
We'll kind of stay in the junk food realm. Pop Tarts. What is the greatest flavor of Pop Tart of all time? Dylan, start with you.
Strawberry.
Ooh, frosted or unfrosted?
Frosted, baby.
Oh, all right. Strawberry frosted. We're going old school classic. Sammy, you got one? You got a Pop Tart?
S'mores.
S'mores. You're going a little bit more the
modern,
you know, the richer.
Yeah. If we're talking old school OG stuff, cherry. Yeah.
Oh, frosted cherry is the right answer.
Yeah.
Brian,
yeah.
you got one?
Strawberry, blueberry, awesome. whatever's
it. Yeah. We'll say my runner is blueberry. Blueberry's fire.
And I don't want them toasted or nothing. I'm eating that shit straight out the foil.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
I can both, you know. I mean, it just kind of depends. I mean, if I'm starving or if I'm slightly hungry, it's being eaten straight out of the foil.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. If I got two sips of milk and a Pop Tart, I don't need heat to be added to that equation.
Just go right in cold.
Yeah, I don't need that.
I like it. I dig it. All right. If you guys in your current band, we're talking Sullivan's Hollow, could choose the perfect set for an up set, the perfect lineup for a night, what bands are you playing with? Could be local people, could be guys out touring internationally.
Man. So, like, I don't know. I feel like we've played with some pretty good ones, man. I don't know. Like, I would pretty much put our local scene up. I mean, have you listened to mainstream media or mainstream music recently?
No.
It's exactly. It kind of fucking sucks.
There's a lot of totally bands we talk to that aren't mainstream that are pretty damn good, though.
There are. No, don't get me wrong. There are. But I don't know, man.
So you're putting a bill together for one night. You got a maximum of three bands, yours included. Who are the other one or two?
Man, that's tough. Look, I'll tell you, man. I'm gonna take JT McCaffrey and the Lincoln Outfit from right here in Mississippi. And we've already done that. I'm a huge fan of those. Is what we're talking about realistically. Those are the guys I'm gonna call. And I think they're badasses. I think we blend together really well. I think that it's just different enough flavors, but there's always that common element of hard-nosed rock to it. But there's also plenty of guys out there that I would love to go and play shows with. You know, that's a really tough question.
That's why we ask it, man.
Yeah, that's a hard question, man. There's a lot of bands that have given the opportunity to go play a show with. I would love to. Fucking Hot Mulligan. Love those guys. Let's see. Fuck, that's tough, dude. There's so many good ones out there, dude. I'm trying to even think of like the people that I'm listening to right now. I'd love to go out and do a show with somebody like Matt Mason. I love that dude's alternative weird shit. Like Bank on the Funeral was a great record. His new stuff's great too. Dude, so many. I hope I have enough time to even fractionally play with some of the people that I want to play with.
Fair enough. Dylan, do you have you're putting your perfect lineup together for one night. What are you doing?
Man, I'm trying to. I'm still trying. let's see. So he mentioned Hot Mulligan. That's a great band. I was trying to kind of think in that term or in that genre of like, you know, like pop punk or post-punk or, you know, post-hardcore. Talking about bands that he and I have listened to, Basement would be sick.
Basement would be sick. Yeah, that's true.
That would be...
Crickets Throw Their Voice is such a badass song.
Dude, that whole record. I was freaking out about Color Me and Kindness and then saying, yeah. Yo, have you heard...
The one before that?
Something like Wish Something, but it's an incredible... post-hardcore record. As far as another one that would be maybe a weird one, like it'd be cool if like the 1975 Sullivan's Hollow and Basement did a show together. That'd be
very eclectic.
Yeah.
If we closed, which would be weird to even
dream of. Yeah, I know.
But you know, like say the 1975 opened, it'd be great. It'd be a cool, nice vibe. You know, people that are smoking or
It's
whatever.
your bill. You can do whatever you want, man. Make the
Right.
rules.
So I'd say maybe the 1975 Basement and then us. But you know, like a lot of the like hardcore punk kids are gonna be moshing to Basement, and I love that, and I'll probably be in that pit as well.
Right.
Which would lead
Until you
us.
break a finger moshing and can't play your guitar.
That'll be okay. They'll understand.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah,
All
that's a really
right.
hard question though. I mean, that's a good question.
That's a great
Yeah.
question. Yeah.
Yeah. The last three bands or artists you've streamed. And you can use your phones.
Let me look.
Open book.
Steven Wilson Jr.
Yes.
Let's see. I listened to him not that long ago. Let's look. Last time I was, I mean, I've been listening to his record pretty consistently. And then before that, I was listening to Blacktop
Oh yeah, good band.
Mojo. And let me see, where's that? Big Wreck.
Oh,
Those are
Big
the,
Rack. Okay.
yeah,
Wow.
those are the last three bands
Big
I've been
Rack,
listening
huh?
to.
Man.
Yeah.
Nice. Kublai Khan, TX, Soulblind, and Hot
Remember
Mulligan.
those guys? Hot Mulligan, Brian.
Yeah.
Make sure you note in Hot Mulligan because we're going to have to check out those guys. This the hot. There's been a lot of Hot Mulligan talk.
Dude, I went out there, I guess it was like 2 years ago to Texas. I was supposed to see Simple Plan, right? Well, they backed out of the show. It was like the height of like, I think it was 2021. They backed out of the show. I was already out there. I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna go to the show. And Less Than Jake and shit, what is that other band's name? Less Than
You guys
Jake.
do like all the pop punk and alternative punk
Dude,
music.
what is that band's name? Man, this, I can't believe I'm forgetting this right now, but Less Than Jake was playing in another band, Newfound Glory.
Oh,
Were like,
Newfoundland,
they were like
yeah.
headlining it, and Hot Mulligan and this other band that I don't even remember. I think it was like Zulu or Zolo, but Hot Mulligan was the act after that one, and they were opening up for Less Than Jake. And I was like, ah, whatever, let's check them out. And so I listened to them, and I was fucking blown away. They're so good. They sound the exact same live as they do on the record. It's
That's
fantastic.
always, yeah. Wasn't the lead singer of Newfound Glory married to Ar Avril Lavigne at one point or something, or
I'm not,
something
I
like
don't
that?
know. I have no idea.
I think they're Canadian. They're a Canadian band, aren't they?
Maybe so. I know Big Wreck is.
Yeah, Big Rack for sure.
But I mean, like I said, I just was kind of like, I was you know, just in my element enough to really get into the whole horn like ska thing that night. And it was really cool that Hot Mulligan opened it up, and dude, they fucking slam. They're fantastic.
Okay, right on. We'll take that. Those are good choices, guys. All right, last question for you both. I'm gonna angle it at what you do in the band. So, Sammy, for you, what's one song that you hear that you wish you'd written because the lyrics and everything else are so good? You're like, damn it, I wish I had written that song.
I don't know. Let's just take a look at the top 100 hits of the last 30 years. No, man, as far as like recently released, or are we just talking all
Anything,
time?
anything, no, all time. Like you hear, it could be a Bob Dylan. You're like, man, those lyrics or the melody or something so good. It's just.
Man, I'm gonna level and say, fuck, that's a tough fucking question. One, I do Jason Isbell, Speed Trap Town.
Yeah.
That's one that, without a doubt, I'm like, man, I wish I would have wrote that song.
His last record, that Weather Vanes record, is incredible.
It's fucking good. I didn't like it. My first listen through, I was like, this is not Jason Isbell. And my buddy Crawford Stevens was like, he's a true Isbell fan. He was like, no, you need to listen to it again. You're fucking wrong. It's a great record. And I gave it like 2 weeks and went back and listened. I was like, okay, King of Oklahoma does go fucking hard.
King of Oklahoma's great, and like
Yeah.
his guitar playing live is amazing.
It's absurd. It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a fantastic record, but I would still say the one that strikes me that I wish I had written is either Speed Trap Town or oh fuck, what's the name of it? Elephant.
I like it.
Yeah.
Dylan, for you, guitar part, solo, song, anything that's guitar oriented, when you hear that, you're like, damn, I wish I'd written that.
Ooh. Man. So my mind immediately kind of goes to the grunge era, or like, movement. Like Stone Temple Pilots and Alice in Chains. Of course, you guys know with my previous band, I'm big Alice. As far as right now, you asking me this question, I'd probably say song-wise, like beautifully crafted song, I'd say Silver Gun Superman by Stone Temple Pilots. I think that's the best Stone Temple Pilots.
Man, you don't hear that
As
either.
like a guitar solo goes, like Midnight in Harlem by Tedeschi Trucks.
Oh, yeah, that song is so cool how it just builds.
I know I'm
Just
kind of cheating, but yeah,
it's
if
all right.
wise, that'd be my answer, and then song wise.
You're a damn good slide player, so I can see why you picked something where it's also a big slide part in that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, it was great talking to you, Sammy. It was good to meet you
Dude,
and
thank
find
y'all
out a little
so
bit
much
about
for having me
Sullivan's
on.
Hollow. Yeah, for sure. Where do we go to find out more about Sullivan's Hollow or any other projects you guys are doing?
Man, Sullivan's Hollow's got a Facebook page that you can check out. We're on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, D all the above as far as streaming platforms. And then as far as me, you can check out, I got Instagram, Facebook. Both of those should have a link to my website. I'm updating it constantly this week. And I just put a song out under my name for my solo project called Mr. No One. You can go check that out. But really just keeping up with us on Facebook or Instagram, or I finally caved and have gotten a TikTok. I don't really like posting on there, but I do it. Like I said, I'm not a huge social media guy, man. We post about stuff and we go play shows, and that's about it,
That's
man.
part of the business, especially when you're self-promoting, you know what I mean? Like that there's you have to do it.
You do have to do it. I've fought that current for a long time. But that's probably the best way. It would just be to hop on one of our socials accounts. I mean, I know Dylan and I post pretty regularly about what shows we're playing, and man, honestly, as far as what we're doing with Sullivan's Hollow, on April the 20th of this year, we're putting on our second annual. We're calling it the Bluff City Block Party. That's what we put on last year, and we just did this New Year's Eve event called the Bluff City Ball Drop down in Natchez, Mississippi. Invited our friends of ours from all over the Southeast to come play. We're doing the same thing again on 420 this year. Wink, wink. So if y'all want to, there'll be a lot of cool bands there. That if folks are trying to get out and hear some really talented motherfuckers, that they'll be there.
Love it.
That's really what we're doing, is focus on putting on those events again this year.
Dylan, what about you? How do we our listeners find out what's going on with you?
Happenstance.
Happenstance, just luck into it.
Really Facebook right now. I do have a artist page that I don't post on a whole lot. As far as like the heavy hitting shows and stuff like that, they'll be under Sullivan's Hollow. And stuff like that. I don't do too much outside of Sullivan's Hollow and Will Hatton. Will Hatton and I do like stuff around the Southeast. But try to send me a friend request if you haven't. I know I'm friends with both of you guys on Facebook and stuff like
Yeah,
that.
but also if somebody's listening, they can just hit that follow button.
This is true. I guess,
It's 'cause sometimes that friend button gets a little sketchy in them DMs, you know what I mean?
All I know is on social media, when you hit a certain point of followers or whatever,
You have to follow.
the sex bot things start hitting. All of a sudden, there's really attractive
Yeah.
women,
Right.
and they're real too.
With three mutual friends, and you look and you like, you crusty motherfucker, I knew you
It's
had been.
like they got
Yeah,
him.
my boy
Yeah,
got
I know.
got. It's like, you want to join chats? No.
No.
No, thank you.
No.
You know you've made it on social media when the sex spots come out.
That's true. That is
You're
true. You're doing something right.
doing something right when you get sex
Exactly.
spots. All right, Brian, before this goes to a dark place, over to you, man.
Yeah, man, we're not talking to Jay Scott here. There,
Gotta keep it clean. That's right.
that's an inside joke for those who don't know. But anyway, Thank you so much to Dylan Palmero and Sammy Cadan from Sullivan's Hollow and other projects. Thank you guys so much for coming on. It's been a blast. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you guys.
Dude, thank you, man.
Thank you so much to Dylan, Sammy from Sullivan's Hollow. As I mentioned in the intro, it's great to hear about, there's such a wide variety of music in Mississippi, not just like the Delta blues that we love and the Hill Country blues that we love, but there's a lot of different things. And, you know, I really enjoyed when Sammy talked about, you know, that has its influence. Somehow it always creeps in, that influence creeps into stuff. But, you know, how those guys, you know, Sammy comes right out and says he's not like a huge blues fan, respects and that influence is there, but he's, you know, there's so much.
He's a rock guy. Yeah. He's not doing the country. He's not doing the blues. He's doing the rock, but they have elements. Dylan's hopping on there. You know, again, he'll get to do his style. Sammy even said he wants Dylan to do what Dylan's going to do with the songs. He doesn't expect them to play the previous guys or anything particular. So should be interesting.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to hear, you know, what new music they come up with Dylan in the fold and what he'll add. But, I certainly have enjoyed what I've listened to from them, and you know,
I have too. It's good to know. Get Sammy; he's a real cool guy. Has an interesting history. Those guys were on it when we talked about junk food and Pop Tarts, and I was impressed by the whole thing.
yeah, definitely. Yeah, good to get to know another soul in Sammy. So that was definitely a lot of fun, as yep. always.
Look forward to talking to him again once Dylan gets his toehold in that band.
Yeah. So this is going to like segue into getting more, directly into the Hill Country Blues with our next guest coming up. So you guys hang on and be anticipating that. You'll enjoy it too. So until then, always remember, Southern Rock is reverent, blues is blood. We'll see you next time.
Still I draw. It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.